Hello! You are listening to Caffeine and Chaos, podcast for moms by a mom who's just taken it one day and one cup of coffee at a time. My name's Karina, I'll be your hostess, and you're listening to episode number 2. Happy Thursday. I am recording from my hotel room in Okinawa, Japan. It's so exciting! If you hear a baby in the background, I have Addy with me today. I know I mentioned in the last episode that my family was getting ready for our very first PCS move with the military overseas, but I didn't say where we were going. I wanted to wait until we were actually finally here to announce where we will be spending the next 3 years of our life, living and growing as a family. But we arrived last night at 9:30 p.m. In Okinawa, and we're here. And it's really weird. Not the place, the feeling of being here. I still feel like we're on vacation, and that at some point we're getting back on a plane to head back to the United States, but we're not. And I think it feels like that just because we're living in a hotel for the next couple days until we get to go to the housing office tomorrow. We have to go through a housing brief, and then hopefully within the next week or so, we'll be moving into a house. And I feel like once we get our home, our new home, and get our first shipment of stuff and start to get settled and get a car, then it'll really become real, like, oh, you know, we're living here now. Yeah, and I think at that point it'll be a little surreal, but I think it'll be exciting too, because we've been here less than 24 hours, and so far our experience here has just been absolutely incredible, and I am optimistic that it's just going to get better from here. So it's kind of one of those things, you know, you go on vacation, you experience somewhere, you love things about it, but then you have to go home. And this is one of those experiences where we've come and we've loved everything that we've experienced so far, but we don't have to leave for 3 years. So it's really weird. But the feeling is weird. Japan, on the other hand, is wow. So far, a million out of a million. It is incredible here. And literally my only experiences here have been in the airports and driving to our hotel and then at our hotel. But so far it's been so different than being back in the United States. So I had a podcast episode all recorded and ready to go. And then as I got to thinking about it, our travel experience coming overseas, this was my very first time traveling overseas. Not my first time traveling out of the country. My first time traveling overseas, though, my first time flying to a different country. My prior experience with traveling to a different country was on a cruise ship, which is totally different. But I wanted to be able to share our experience with traveling and traveling with small children and just the emotions and the excitement behind our move. And I wanted it all to be fresh. So some of you probably saw that I put up a poll on the Facebook page and on my Instagram asking, do you guys want to hear the episode I had already recorded, or do you want to hear about our trip? And the unanimous vote was everyone wanted to hear about our trip. So here we go. Here is the Adler Family Adventure to Japan podcast. I guess the best place to start with all of this is at the very beginning, which is when we left North Carolina. So we departed North Carolina on Tuesday, January 28th. Our flight left at 5:30. So we were at the airport bright and early, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., and our best friends from North Carolina came to say farewell. I will say I have grown up saying a lot of goodbyes. The community that I grew up in was a very transient community, full of people who just came for the summer, full of people who worked in the logging industry or fishing industry. So I grew up with my friends moving away. I never experienced being the one to move away. This was really my first experience with that. And then I went away to college, and then I married my husband. So really, 100% honestly, this is my very first moving experience, because coming from college right to being married to my husband. I really don't count that as a move. It was about 6-hour drive to get settled in North Carolina, and that's where we've been. But this was literally packing up our whole home, our whole life, and getting on an airplane, not knowing when we are ever going to see our friends in North Carolina again, or even our family. We have no idea when we're going to see our family again. And I think that that's part of the adventure of being a military family. So it was definitely bittersweet to say goodbye. But of course, being in the military, more than a goodbye, it was a see you later, which was great and really refreshing to know that. So we got on the plane. Everything was very fast paced. Of course, leaving from a smaller airport, they only opened about an hour before our flight took off. So we checked our 16. We had 16 or 17 bags to check out of Jacksonville. And we got right on the plane. Flew about two and a half hours to Atlanta. And then had to go from the regular terminal to the international terminal. Spent way too much money on breakfast there. Airport food is so expensive, you guys. I've always known that, but now after experiencing airport food in a different country and how inexpensive it is, I'm floored at how much we spend on food in airports. It blows my mind. Got some coffee and then boarded our 14-hour flight to Tokyo. We flew Delta Airlines, of course, with this being a PCS, the military booked our tickets for us. If you are planning to fly internationally, this is where, combined with the story of everything that we've done, I'm going to do my best to also give you some pieces of advice, especially if you're traveling with kids, because our experience on that 14-hour flight was amazing. It went so much smoother than I think it could have. Especially for traveling with three very small children and being as tired as we were, we had gotten no sleep before we boarded the plane in Jacksonville. So my husband and I were running on literally coffee and patience. That was all we had in us
at that point.
Excuse me. So we get on this 14-hour flight and we were clear in the back of the plane in row 53. And of course, I'm thinking, oh my word, we're in the back of the plane. This is an international flight, which I'd never been on an international flight before. So of course, what I'm anticipating is this is going to be a full flight. We're going to be super crammed. This is going to be so awful. I was so glad we sat in the back of that plane because everywhere else was pretty decently filled up. The section of the plane that we were in, there was maybe 22 people total sitting in our section. We had literal rows to ourselves, whole rows that weren't even our seats. It was so nice. Our kids spread out and laid down to sleep. At one point or another, my husband and I got the opportunity to sit down or lay down over a row and sleep for a couple hours. The food was actually really good. The one thing I will say is it was not kid-friendly food at all. But as far as my husband and I eating on the plane, the meals were great. And we had brought enough snacks for our kids that they really were okay for the whole time that we were on the plane. So 14 hours on a plane. We also had TV screens in the back of the seats in front of us. So we had access to a ton of free movies and games. And that was amazing because I think our kids really did so well on that flight because they could watch movies the whole time. They're able to sit there. We really had to do very little to keep them occupied, which was amazing because we were so tired. When they were sleeping, we were sleeping. We took advantage of every second of sleep that we could get on that flight. And when they were awake, they were able to sit there and watch a movie. I mean, it got to the point where our kids didn't want to wear headphones after a while. They would literally sit there and just watch the movie play without hearing anything. It was really funny, but they loved it. And I think that was really the reason why they did so well. Of course, they had their moments where they would get fussy, but we had to take into consideration, you know, they're incredibly tired. This is a really long plane ride. We would let them out of the seat, kind of run around and jump around sometimes. But overall, they did great. The flight attendants were phenomenal. They were so sweet and so attentive. bringing around drinks, bringing around food for us. It was great. When we got to Tokyo, I don't want to say it was culture shock because I really don't feel like it was culture shock. But I will say the experience we had once we landed in Tokyo was so different than any other airport experience I've ever had. It made the transition from traveling in the United States and coming here so easy and so effortless. It really relieved a lot of stress because we had been told so many things about when you get to Tokyo, this is what's going to happen and no one's going to speak English and so on and so forth. And I was really nervous about that. I've never traveled internationally like this before. I'm very unfamiliar with how things work in other countries. I'm very accustomed to airports in the US and how they work. And so coming to a different country, especially with kids, was really intimidating to me. And then you're having to deal with things like customs and you're looking online at customs regulations for Japan. Japan is a very strict country when it comes to what you can and cannot bring in. And so reading customs regulations online was very intimidating while we were packing our bags. And I was really for sure that there were going to be things that we were going to carry in our suitcases that they were going to take from us. And so just the whole process seemed so daunting. On the plane, they handed us the customs forms to fill out, and you're filling these out. And of course, they're in Japanese. There's some English underneath the Japanese writing, but they're predominantly in Japanese. And so you're filling it out. You're hoping you're filling it out right because you don't want to get to the customs desk and have them look at you like you're dumb or have to refill all your paperwork out because that just takes more time. And then talking to people, they had told us things like, oh, we went and did customs and it took 2 hours to get through customs with all of our bags and our kids and everything else. And so we get off the plane, we get all of our stuff. We go to the top of the ramp and there's agents waiting there with our strollers. We put the kids in our strollers and immediately these ladies are asking, where's your connecting flight? Where are you going? And we said, well, we're going to Okinawa. Okay, this is where you need to go. This is what you need to do. In English, clear as day. Oh, wow. Okay. So we got off the plane. The airport wasn't big. People had told us, oh, it's so much walking. You're going to do so much walking when you get there. You're going to be so tired. It was not bad at all. We got off the plane. I think there was more walking because we had strollers, so we had to take the elevators. But we got on the elevators and we went out. Of course, the whole airport is torn apart. They're remodeling the Tokyo airport because the Olympics is happening in Tokyo this summer. So 2020 Tokyo Olympics, they're remodeling the entire airport for that. So it was torn apart and the only English on any of the signs was domestic and international. That was it. Everything else was in Japanese. So we kind of just followed the signs for domestic and wound our way to this area where there were all these people standing in blue jackets. And they asked us for our paperwork. We gave them our paperwork. And instead of ushering us through the line where they were taking everybody else, they pointed and they said, this way, because we had the kids in strollers. So we ended up getting to go to a completely separate desk where there was nobody. They took our paperwork, processed us through. All they did was ask for our passports and the paperwork we had filled out on the plane. We handed it to him. He checked off a box and sent us through the gate. So we're thinking like, oh, that was it. Okay. So we go down to baggage claim and we're kind of processing in our head. Okay, we're going to get these carts and we have 16 bags to put on these carts and go through customs. When we got down to the baggage claim, there were 3 Japanese flight attendants, agents waiting for us. They had already taken all of our bags off of the conveyor belt for us and organized them all together. So all we had to do was pull the carts over and load them on the carts. And then all these people all of a sudden are asking, can we help you push carts? Can we push your stroller for you? We'll show you where to go. We'll take you there. They weren't just pointing us you know, go that way. This is what you need to do. Good luck. They literally took the strollers from us, pushed the luggage carts for us, and walked us from the baggage claim through customs, which was effortless. We handed them our passports, our plane tickets, and the forms. The guy looked at us, looked at our passports, and said, "Have a nice day." And we looked at him and we said, "That was it?" And he said, "You have children. I trust you. Have a nice day." What? Literally, from getting off the plane to going through customs and being entered into Japan took about 20 minutes. It was mind-blowing. So different than what we had been told. So then we had to go back out to the ticket counter and check our bags. And that was the thing that took the longest because they checked us in for the flight and then we decided to downsize. One mistake we made is that I had prepped one carry-on for every person plus our two strollers and Addison's car seat. It was too much. So we were able to downsize our carry-ons in Tokyo, which was great. We checked a bunch of backpacks, so we were traveling light. Well, then they told us that they don't gate check in Japan. It's against their airline policy. They do not gate check. So we were not allowed to take our strollers with us into the airport. We actually had to check them there at the counter. But the airport supplies strollers for you to use until you board your plane. I was mind blown. So then they give us these strollers. Guys, go check out my Instagram story. I posted a picture of Addison in the stroller, and I'll do a blog post about our travel too, and I'll post some pictures on there. These strollers were amazing. Not only were they so easy to get the kids in and out of, there was a latch on the back that literally leaned the seat into a laying down position. So Addison fell asleep and I just laid her down so her head wasn't slumped or anything. There was so much storage space on the bottom of the stroller, we were able to not have to carry any of our bags through the airport. It made being in the Tokyo airport for 4.5 hours so easy. So we get these strollers and they're telling us there's no food at your gate. So if you want food, there's little convenience stores in the airport here. The airport was not big. For being Tokyo, you would think it was a lot bigger. It really wasn't. It was a pretty small airport. Not like Chicago or JFK or Seattle, like you would think for a major airport. But it was definitely bigger than the airport we had left out of in Jacksonville. So they said, make sure you get some snacks and stuff at the little convenience stores out here before you go through security. Okay. So we go, and of course, it's all in Japanese. I'll post pictures of that too, but it's all in Japanese, and it's all this Japanese food. Well, thankfully, my husband deployed here a couple years ago, so he's familiar with at least a decent amount enough information and enough of the food and the culture to get us by and get us started here, you know, as we kind of learn. So he's picking out stuff for us. He picks up a couple green teas, and they have iced and hot coffee in cans out here, which is really good. It's so good. I'm a sweet coffee person. I like flavor in my coffee, and this was just coffee with cream, and it was so good. Totally not something I would have just picked up and enjoyed on my own. In the United States, it's not something I would have liked, but here it was so different, so good. Plus, can we talk about the calorie count and stuff here? Because there's no preservatives and chemicals in stuff. It's all fresh ingredients. It's all good for you. There are standards of food, standards of living. I'll talk about that in a different episode. It's so different here, and we started to experience that in the airport. But so we grabbed some snacks, and then we had to find our way to the gate. So we found our way, and then of course I'm thinking, oh no, we're about to go through security, and we just bought all these drinks and all these bottles of water. And I looked at my husband, I said, well, what are we going to do? And he said, I didn't think about it. He said, well, I guess if they take them, they take them. You know, it is what it is. So we go through security, and there were a lot of things that were very different. Number one, when you're going through security, TSA will not touch your stuff. So I've had experiences in the US where, you know, you're getting your stuff up on the conveyor belt and TSA is helping you put your stuff up and things like that. The Japanese agents wouldn't touch our personal belongings. And we were told that's a respect thing. They're respecting you and your privacy and your space. You don't feel rushed going through security in Japan. It's very odd. You take your shoes off for the screening, but they give you a pair of flip-flops to wear, so you're not barefoot. They let us push the strollers directly through the scanners, and then they didn't even check our kids. It was great. The scanners are just your standard scanner, nothing special or crazy about it. Then the lady looks at me and hands me this box, and she says, you can put all your liquids in here. And I'm thinking, okay, the liquids that are in the Ziploc bags, you know, like you would in the U.S. So I put them in the tray, and she says, no, no, the drinks. And I looked at her and said, oh, we don't have to throw them away? She said, no, you can bring them. Oh, okay. So we went through with all these water bottles and didn't even have to have our liquids in a Ziploc. So that was super different and super interesting, but got through security, effortless process. They didn't have to search anything, nothing. It was amazing, and they were so nice. Got to our gate, and there was a little food stand by the gate that had noodles and ramen and some teas and stuff. And so my husband, having been here before, you know, we hadn't eaten a meal since being on the plane and stuff. And so he said, well, I'm going to go get some noodles. And he brought me back some chow mein, which was the most amazing thing I've ever tasted. I've never liked chow mein noodles in my entire life. I've always despised them. These were so different, so fresh, so good. He told me he ordered it. And for fast food, he literally watched them pull the meat out of the fridge. It was all made fresh right there. Incredible. The flavor was amazing. Did not taste stale. Didn't taste packaged. It was so amazing. I don't even know how to describe it. And full of so much flavor. And the serving sizes are a lot smaller here. So it was just enough. It was perfect. And it was cheap. It was so cheap. I think all in all, between all the snacks that we got, plus the noodles and all the drinks that we purchased, we probably spent about $30 total for what very easily could have cost us $50 or $60 at an airport in the U.S. It was mind-blowing at the price difference and the quality that we got. And yeah, it was really a neat experience. So then it was time to board our last flight to Okinawa. So we went to the gate, and something that's very different at this airport in Tokyo, when you fly out, you go through, they check you in, and you actually board a bus that takes you out to your plane on the flight line. So they don't, very few flights have actual gates at this airport that you just walked on a ramp and get on the plane. So we had to get on a bus that took us out to the plane, and we boarded it. And again, it was another big international flight jet, but this was a partnership airline with Delta called ANA, which is an Asian airline. And it was very different. I will say this plane was not comfortable. The seats were not comfortable, not conducive for sleeping. We could tell that everyone around us who was Japanese was very comfortable. The Americans on the plane were definitely making it work. So we had about 2 hours on that flight. And I will say that was our roughest flight. It was our last one. We were at the point, I know my husband and I were at the point where we wanted to get out of our travel clothes. We wanted to take a hot shower. We wanted to lay in a real bed. Our kids were so tired. The boys fell asleep immediately on the plane. Easton was restless. You could tell he was uncomfortable sleeping in an airplane seat, and they were so tired. Addison cried almost the whole entire flight. I was trying to soothe her, but I was so tired. I was dozing off. So it was just, the last flight was really rough, but we made it. We landed in Okinawa. The landing reminded me of landing back home in Ketchikan. I think I said this before, but I grew up on an island in Southeast Alaska. So moving to an island, I feel like I'm in my element a little bit here. Actually, a lot of the terrain here really reminds me of where I grew up, which is quite funny. The trees remind me of where I grew up. There's a lot that reminds me of where I grew up. But the landing was really turbulent. It reminded me of landing in Ketchikan on a really rainy night. But of course, it wasn't raining, so it was strange. So we got off the plane, we walked down the stairs, got all of our baggage, had to load it onto the carts, and then walked through and met our sponsor and a couple other guys from Tyler's unit, and they were there with vehicles to pick us up. And we got in these cars. The cars here are a lot smaller. They're smaller, but they're still good space. I mean, in total, we had 22 bags, 3 car seats, 2 strollers, and we fit all of it into these 3 cars. And it was about a 30-minute drive to our hotel on Camp Foster. We landed at Naha. So Okinawa is the island, and then there's different little places on the island that have a name. So we landed at Naha, which is about 30 minutes north or south. Maybe it's south of Camp Foster, which is in Ginowan, Okinawa. And so we drove to Camp Foster, got checked in at the hotel. The hotel accommodations here are amazing. We are staying in a room with a kitchen, and the boys have their own room, and we have our own room. There's a playroom, there's a library, there's a game room, free breakfast at the restaurant next door. Of course, our sponsor has been absolutely amazing. He is a family too, and so the fact that he's taking, you know, time out of his work day and time even out of his own personal day when he wouldn't be working to show us around and drive us to the commissary and all kinds of things is just amazing, and it makes us feel so welcomed. We were even talking today. He and his family are headed to the Cherry Blossom Festival this weekend and invited us to go with them, so we probably will. I'm super excited about that. The Cherry Blossoms are coming out here, and it's going to be amazing. So, yeah, so that was our travel story. I may do a part 2 of this episode and share more tips for traveling at some point when I've kind of collected more of my thoughts, or I'll write a blog post on it. So it will be one or the other, and you'll see that within the next week or so. But overall, it was an amazing experience. We've been here less than 24 hours. We arrived at 9:30 p.m. last night. I'm recording this right now, and it's 3:47 in the afternoon. We are 15 hours ahead of where we were in the U.S. So actually, when I post this podcast, it will be Thursday morning for those of you who are back in the U.S. listening, and it will be late Thursday night for us here in Okinawa. But we've been here less than 24 hours, and already our experience has just been so amazing. I'm hopeful. I'm so hopeful that our 3 years here are just going to be incredible. And just driving from the airport to base, we got to see so much of Okinawa. Very much, there's some suburban. I'd say the area that we're in could definitely be city. This is city. Not massive city skyscrapers, but definitely lots of apartment buildings, lots of businesses, taller buildings, things like that. And of course, I'll be posting lots of pictures in the weeks to come on the blog, so stay tuned for those. Or on my Instagram, you can follow me at caffeineandchaos3 is my Instagram. I'll also link that on the Facebook page so y'all can follow us there. I'm posting stories daily. For the next couple of weeks, I'll post 5 fun facts about Japan every day. I posted my 5 for today, which in case you don't get to catch it, I'll add them here. My 5 fun facts for Japan today were, number 1, Japanese Pampers are far superior to American Pampers. Our sponsor was kind enough to purchase diapers for us, so we didn't have to carry more than what we needed for our travels. And so we got the Japanese Pampers, and they are incredible. Plus, they're not loaded with preservatives, which is awesome. The second thing, see, now I have to remember the order I posted them in. I'll probably get these out of order, but that's okay. You'll get the idea. The food here is amazing. Super clean. I talked a little bit about that. And really cheap. Number 3, the strollers are incredible. Why don't we have them in the U.S.? The 4th, what else did I post? I can't remember the 4th and the 5th one that I posted, but if you hop on Instagram, you'll see them. So, and I'll post 5 more tomorrow. So I think I will end the episode here. with our story. Again, stay tuned. I'll either do another podcast episode or a blog with just some tips and hints for traveling internationally and traveling internationally with kids so that I don't make this episode super long. The other episode that I had ready to go for today will get posted at some point. Thankfully, it's a pretty versatile episode, so I can post it at any point. Also, a little plug, I will make another poll on the Facebook page. What my husband was mentioning, he listened to the podcast and he was saying he really thinks that I should do this twice a week. So I'm considering the possibility of doing more than one episode a week. And once we're settled here, I think I'll have the time and the energy to be able to do that. So would love some feedback on that. So feel free to give me your feedback. But that's all I've got for now. So from Okinawa, Japan, thank you for listening. I hope that all of you have a wonderful Thursday. Thank you for your love and support, and we'll talk to you next time.